that this man of God was coming to share the word with us this week. Amen. Because the last time he was here, he absolutely tore us up. Hallelujah. Talking about keep digging, baby. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to tell you, go on and put your crash helmets on and elbow and knee pads and buckle up, amen, because I know that we are getting ready to receive a word from the Lord. So please give your undivided attention to silence your mobile devices so that you can pay attention, get off Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, amen, because we're getting ready to hear the word, y'all. Let's receive Pastor Lee Bailey at this time.
Come on, let's give the Lord a big old hand clap of praise. Isn't the Lord wonderful? How many love the Lord? Amen. How many not ashamed just to give the Lord a salute of praise, but a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Yeah, I am so thankful. No pressure, right? Amen. No. I want to thank the Lord for your amazing pastors, Shawnee, Gail and Shawnee. We love them so dearly. They are a blessing, and we love our friendship. You know, we get a chance to talk to them, and they just real people, and I appreciate just how real they are. And I just want to give God a big old praise for them, amen, in their absence, and pray traveling mercies for them where they're going, amen, and that they'll be a blessing where they are. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I also want to thank the Lord for also for my beautiful wife. Yeah. We've been married almost 30 years. Coming up. Yeah. And she's still working on me. She's teaching me how to dress, and she's teaching me how to talk and all that stuff. And I just give God a praise for her, and I love her so dearly. And I want to thank the Lord for also Vertical Encounter Church. Man, y'all energy is, man, you know, I was like, I want God to bless y'all with your own space, because I feel like the pews are a hindrance. You know, like, I was just sitting here, and I didn't know what to do with all this energy and all the praise, and, you know, I didn't know, you know, I wanted to kind of pop and lock, but I was like, I'm uptight. I don't know what to. Amen. And so, matter of fact, can we just lift our hands and declare that? Lord, thank you for opening the door. This is a time of great transition anyway. And we thank you, Lord, for opening a door for their own furnished space. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout glory to God. Come on, let's seal that. Let's seal it. Let's go ahead and seal that. Hallelujah. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're so thankful. I want to jump right into the word, and I think we're going to fish bones afterwards, and so I'm going to go quick. How's that, Jesus? I'm thankful also for Vertical Encounter Church for coming out. I know that the weather is supposed to be inclement a little later, but thank you for showing up. The presence, listen, the ministry of presence is important, especially as a guest preacher. The ministry of presence is important. So why don't you give yourself just a round of applause and thank the Lord for you. Amen. Also, I see my friend back there, Pastor Richard Braceful. God bless you, sir. We love you so much. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Life in the Spirit Church, we love them so much. Let's go to Joshua, the third chapter. I won't be before you long, but I do want to dive right into the word. I've been praying and just thinking about what to say. God bless the musicians, man. Y'all. I want to touch your instrument before I leave, because I want God to raise up a lead, like electric guitar. That's the bass, that's the lead, right? I want God to raise it up in our church back in Flint. So I feel like if I touch it, that it'll be my imprint. That imprint would be on me. And when I go to church tomorrow, I'll just touch somewhere and God will do something and raise up somebody. So before I leave, would you mind if I just, you know, can we just do that right now? So, is that okay? Is that okay? Yep, thank you, Lord. Yeah. I'm a visual learner, man, and so thank you so much. Oh, God, we praise you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for raising up one, even in our church. Thank you, Lord God, for the sound that reaches heaven and heaven reaches back, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Let's go to Joshua, the third chapter, real quick. Joshua 3. I may ask my wife to come up a little bit too. But Joshua 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Look at your neighbor and say, go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, which is about a half a mile. Come not near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Certain translation says, don't come close so that you may know which way to go, for you have not come this way before. The Lee Bailey version says, keep your distance so that you can see which way the Ark of Covenant or the Ark of Promise is moving. Other translation says, don't come too close so you can see the direction where things are going, because this is a foreign direction to your religion. And at last, the Message Bible says, make sure you keep proper distance between you and it, about a half a mile. Be sure to keep your distance so that you can see clearly the route to take, because you've never been on this road before. Somebody say amen. Amen. Please put in your margin, please receive this in your spirit. If you're on chat, put this in the chat. Distance for clarity. Distance for clarity. Distance for clarity. As you know, I'm a business owner, or some of you may know, but I'm a business owner as well. And I was reading this article in this business forum, which stated that clarity always comes when you create distance between yourself and an issue that you're struggling with. The article stated that it's a bit like trying to figure out a blurred photograph. The further you place the photo away from you, the more precise the image appears. Now, I can really bear witness to this, and I can relate to this, because I'm 53, not 50, I'm 53, which is a cool 53. I'm 53, and there are times now in which when I read something that is right in front of me, I find myself getting clarity when I have a little more distance. Because sometimes when things are right in your face, it's too difficult to really see clearly what is that you're supposed to see. When you get 53 like I am, you know, not only is it a blur, but we was at a restaurant the other day, and I said, why is it so dark in here? I can't even see the menu. I got my flashlight out of my phone, and y'all ever do that? Or any 53-year-olds in here? All right, amen. That's a younger crowd, and so, amen. Yeah. Maybe it's just me. I said, I was at this restaurant, and I'm going to get to the word. I just want to warm you up a little bit. I said, man, why is the font so small on this menu? And so I was trying to maneuver, and, you know, I was trying to look to see what it was. And the closer it got, I lift my glasses up. I did one of these numbers, and the closer I got, the worse it was. But when I gave a little distance for clarity, I could see clearly the message, or as a matter of fact, what we were going to order. I find myself viewing objects at a greater distance nowadays, not just objects, but people. Because it helps to give you clarity. I share with you that I've been married almost 30 years. I told my wife, I said, you know, and they got these new plans on the phones now. You have your phone for so long, and you can upgrade after a certain time. So I told her, when we hit 30, the year 30, don't upgrade and get a newer version man out there. Let's just finish it out. Amen. But I find myself viewing things differently. I find myself distancing from certain things that have been too close, where I really couldn't see what I'm supposed to see. Yeah. Anybody ever been in love before? With the wrong, I'm sorry. And I love it, but wait. Anybody ever been in love with the wrong person? And everything about them was like, oh my God, they're an angel. You know, they just the perfect one or whatever. When you got you a little distance, or the Lord intervened, when the Lord intervened and you look back on it like, oh, when I think back over my life and I think things over, man, God has been good to me. But you didn't get that clarity until there were some distance. When me and my wife are in the heat of battle, and I feel like I'm running out of artillery because she know a lot of more words than I do. And as I'm fighting against the enemy, and I get angrier and angrier by the second, the best thing I could do is just walk away or drive away or give some distance. Because with the distance, I start getting a different level of perspective. I start saying, man, I really love this woman. In the heat of battle, it's you have all these storming thoughts. But when you begin to distance yourself, you start getting some clarity on the things that are important. I'm just warming you up. We're going to get to the text. I want to get it out of the Old Testament thousands of years ago, and I want to make this word become flesh where it's applicable to our everyday, okay? Because some stuff we are not seeing the clear message because we're just too close to it. Tell your neighbor, you need a little distance for clarity. Yeah. In this article, they said that the space between feelings and thoughts to actions can help you to become a better objective decision maker. In essence, if you don't respond how you think, but give yourself, if you distance it a little bit, you're going to find that you're going to respond more like God and have a greater objective decision making, and make successful choices because you have distance for clarity. Somebody say amen. So in Joshua 3, we read this accounting of the children of Israel reaching a point in their journey in which they were finally about to walk into the promised place after 40 years of being stuck in routines and cycles and familiar places and wilderness spaces as the result of someone else's decisions. These people, the children of Israel, y'all know the story. Y'all know the story. The children of Israel, they were Moses, under the leadership of Pastor Moses, the first mega minister. He sent out 12 spies, you know, the accounting, and 10 of them came back with a bad report. But the other two, Joshua and Caleb, had a really good report. Y'all know the story, right? But because of the consensus of the majority at that time, they end up walking in cycles and routines in a secular type of sickness, not being able to go any further, visiting the same bondages, visiting the same wars, visiting the same proclivities, visiting the same issues, visiting the same generational stuff in the wilderness for 40 years, which should have been about a 2-week walk. And so now they get, according to Joshua, the third chapter, now they get to a place where they are at the border of getting to their promise. They are at the border of crossing over into the Jordan. And then this instruction comes from Joshua, who's a new pastor. This instruction comes from Joshua and says, okay, this is what we're going to do. God said that, here she comes. Oh, what God said? Sometimes you need a little bit of that to help out the message a little bit. Tell you, it's going to get good in a minute. Just walk with him. He's a slow talker. He's a visual learner. So Joshua says, God said that in 3 days, we're going to pitch our tents and we're going to cross over. And we're about to go into our promised place. Okay? And so the scripture says in Joshua the third chapter, it says that it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and gave them that instruction and said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of Levites bearing it, then you shall move from your place. But don't get too close. I know you know the area that we're in. I know you've visited this place before. I know you're familiar with it. But what God is about to do, he says, he wants to give a little distance for clarity, because where he's about to take you, you've never been before. Usually, clouds would tell you which way you would go. You would look up during the day and you would see a cloud by day. And then you would look up at night and you would see a pillar of fire by night. But now you're in a time and in a season, you're no longer looking up. You're looking forward. You're watching not just the box move. You're watching what the Ark of Promise of what God said to you. Yeah. When you see it move, pick up your tent pegs and you begin to go towards what God has said. I want you to gently tap your neighbor and say, it's time to stop looking up and start looking forward. See, religion tells us, look up. Oh, precious Jesus. Oh, God, our Father. How I love you. How I adore you. Now, I don't like Sister So-and-so over here. I don't want to be involved with Uncle So-and-so. But, oh, God. How I love you, how I worship you, How I adore you. We love you. We love you. We love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way. I know they ain't sitting in my seat. But we praise you. We have spent too much time looking up and not looking forward to what the promise says. But he says here, he says that after 3 days, officers went through the host and they commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you should move from your place and there you shall have a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. Come not near unto it, this is my King James, that you may know by which way you may go, because you have not been this way before. Please tell your neighbor what God is about to do. You cannot know it in your flesh. You can't know it in your routine. You can't know it looking at your history books. You can't know it looking at your doctrine. You can't know it because you have never been this way before. Yeah. Distance for clarity. Turn your neighbor's going to get good in a minute. We have a friend in the Lord, and she got caught into a false prophecy. It was prophesied to her that she was going to marry a guy, and it was in the service. Like, this is your husband. She held on to that prophecy for 12 years. She was 12 years a slave. She watched him go through two failed marriages, multiple children, scandal, because she was so close that she could not even see all of the indicators that this was not the one, it was false. But the moment we got her away from him, and she got this clarity. Like, what in the world am I wasting my life on? Some religious mess I heard that bore no fruit. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is saying that there's going to be a distance for clarity. And what we have been too close to see, God is going to make it so clear. That the Spirit of God is not just, I was reading y'all words and that song about come God. The Spirit of God is moving in such a way, and he's organizing some things on your behalf, and he is just looking for those that will keep their eyes stayed on him. Not the Levites, but keep your eyes stayed on him. Not what Pastor Gail is doing, but keep your eyes stayed on him. Because he's about to move in a whole different way. Somebody say amen. And the children of Israel, like perhaps many of us, they experience a complete lack of fulfillment in their relationships and their lives and their destiny plan. They felt bitter. They felt hopeless. They were many of them were very cynical. I'm going to say that again. Tell your neighbor, don't be cynical in this season. I don't know why I had to put that in there. Don't be cynical in this season, because you feeling a little worn out and you feel like, you know, ain't nothing really changing. And we just doing the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. You about to walk into something completely new, and that's why God is bringing this word today, that the distance that you've even felt even in your family, God has given you a distance for clarity, because he's about to raise you up as a matriarch and a patriarch in your family, even though you're a young person. God is giving this distance so you can see some things clearly. Somebody say amen. Oh, it's going to get good to you in a minute. I promise you. I cannot imagine how they felt wandering for 40-something years based on somebody else's misperception. Because it was somebody else's misperception that had them walking for 40 years in a wilderness. It was because of somebody else's insecurity that had them living in a wilderness for so many years. We appear, they're giants, and we appear as grasshoppers in their sight. It was somebody else's insecurity and misperception that caused them so much time. So I cannot imagine that feeling. But I can relate to what God told them, and that is, you are about to cross over. Tell your neighbor, you're about to transition. You're about to transition. You're about to transition from out of familiar cycles. You're about to transition out of familiar cycles. Some of you, God is about to give a whole different zip code. You didn't listen. You know these streets too good. You know your financial bracket and your tax bracket too well. God is about to transition you out of familiar cycles and out of even familiar belief systems. Tell you neighbor, it's gonna get good in a minute. Just hold on. I promise you. Stay with me. Don't fall asleep right now, beloved. You've been asleep too long. Come on. I'm trying to get this part into you. This is why I'm sent. God is about to transition. Please write that in your spirit. Please put it in the chat. Please write it down. Please put that transition down. He's about to give you, he's about to transition you out of familiar cycles and out of familiar belief systems. Stop writing folks off because they serve Buddha. Stop. Oh, they're Jehovah's Witness. We won't mess with them. Listen, cook them some dinner. Y'all find a strategy. Y'all work together. Come on, listen. But listen, before you get their ear, you must get their stomach. Fill their belly. Fill their belly with a word, and God will open up their ears. Stop giving them your religion first. See, you have not gone this way before. God wants to give you, he wants to give you a wisdom that you have not seen before, but religion tells you, oh, I know what to do. I know this routine. I know how we're supposed to move forward. Yell at your neighbor and say, keep your distance. God is about to transition you out of familiar cycles and out of familiar belief systems to find, and you're going to find a new walk of possessing the promise of God as it relates, watch this, as it relates to your freedom. See, the Ark of the Covenant, which was the box that they had, it wasn't just the covenant, it was also the Ark of their promise. You remember God was telling them, I'm going to take you to a place. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build. I'm going to give you vineyards you didn't dig for. I'm going to give you houses you ain't built, filled with things you feel is not. I'm going to give you stuff that you ain't ever had before. I'm going to do it in such a way that you're going to know it's God. Now, I am no scholar, but the scripture says that it's believed that it was over 6 million people that left out of Egypt, right? Almost 6 million people. That's about the size of Chicago. So we ain't talking about 8 or 9 folks. He's talking about, I'm going to give you a city. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you but most important, watch this. I'm going to give you freedom and I'm going to give you peace. Somebody shout freedom.
Freedom.
Somebody shout peace.
Peace.
Crossing the Jordan for them was a turning point into a place of freedom. And the waters of Jordan represented freedom from oppression. It represented them finally getting their breakthrough. It represented them finally getting what God said. Not just singing in faith, not just preaching in faith, not just believing in faith. And I love all of that. It's important. But what God says, I'm going to give you notable miracles. I'm going to give you evidence that your haters will know God is with that person. I'm going to give you not just a dream, Martin Luther King. I'm not just going to give you a dream. I'm going to give you the manifestation of what I promised you. Amen. Somebody said, but they had to follow at a distance. So they will have clarity. So they will know. Because living inside of them was frustration. 40 years. How many folks we done buried in this desert? 40 years. How many routines that we done had in church? 40 years. We tired.
Yeah.
Now we're at the border and you telling us we're about to cross over, but you don't know this way, so we need you to keep your distance.
Yeah.
Because the promise is going to go before you and make crooked places straight. The promise is going to go. See, you and I, we have promises
that God has made to you. I'm not looking for a house like that. I'm not looking for dirt. I'm a city boy. I'm not looking for cattle. I'm not looking for that kind of stuff. No, but I got a promise that God has spoke to me, like a promise he has spoke to you. And it's the promise that motivates me. It's the promise that's my sanity barometer when church folk is acting crazy. But I say, you know what? I'm going to stick to what God promised me. I'm going to stay focused on what God promised me. God promised you. Yeah, he promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. Houses they ain't build. Vineyards they ain't dig for. Houses filled with things they feel it's not. That was a promise to them. But the promise to me is freedom. The promise to me is peace. And you may say, then why is that important? Because peace is important. It's not just peace like you don't have war on all sides of you. No, it's not just that kind of peace. It's the peace of you being comfortable in your own skin, and you don't no longer have to play the game trying to fit in this circle, trying to fit in that circle, trying to learn how to code switch, speak this way around certain folks and speak this way around other folks. God promise freedom, yes, and peace. And this is what he said when he says, when you see the ark of promise, when you see it move, go after it. But keep your distance. But go after it. Because you ain't been this way. Grandmama didn't know this part. Big mama didn't know this part. Pawpaw couldn't teach you this part. You ain't seen this before. Can I give you a little more? He says, when you see the ark of the covenant of promise, and the Levites bearing it, go after it. Please write in your spirit, please receive this, the word see. Because everything that God does in this season requires sight. See. Sight. You no longer are looking up to the sky for clouds and pillar of fire. Oh, okay, I'll do it another way. Stop asking God to rain down. Beloved, he ain't raining down nothing else. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I know it's going to sound crazy. He's trying to give you a revelation of who you is. Not drop something else. Listen, when Jesus went up, these men was looking up. And the angel of the Lord said, ye men of Galilee, what y'all looking up for? They still saying that 2,000 plus years later. Lee Bailey, what you looking up for? Somebody say sight. See, you and I have to become so possessed with the promise that we will do anything to get it. I remember when I seen her at that MC Light concert. I went into the rule books like, wait a minute, this one is different. I ain't been this way before. I was a year from going off to the war, but I said, you know, your boy going to the war, and I don't know if I'm gonna come back. 30 years later. But I had to have sight. Your pastor is preaching and teaching, but at the end of the day, they really just want to give you sight. Go with me real quick to Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to let you go. Okay, we'll stay here all night then. How's that? My wife said, I got five. She asked me before I got up, she said, do you have a time clock? I said, no, I don't have time. She said, oh, I'm going to keep time for you. So when she does this, Proverbs 29:18 says,
Remember, everything with God starts with sight. God, he wants you to have sight. He says, keep your distance so that you may know which way to go. I want you to keep your distance so you can have sight. I want you to have distance for clarity, which is mental sight. Okay? That's why church is not like church like it used to be. That's why you got to dig in deeper now. You got to put your shovel out now. It's something different that you have to press into. It's not like God is playing games. It's not like he's withholding. But the religious stuff just don't tap. It don't get in. It don't move. It doesn't stir. It doesn't fill you. You got to go. God is trying to do something to develop our sight again. Okay. But Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, somebody shout vision.
Vision.
Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now, vision in this passage of scripture, it means where there's no dream. Where there's no revelation. And where there's no prophetic word. Where there's no dream, where there's no revelation, and where there's no prophetic word, the people perish. Now, perish doesn't mean that you're destroyed. Perish is an old Hebrew word, actually. It's an old Hebrew word that means para. And para, it describes a woman with long hair who takes the band out of her hair and just lets her hair fly free in the wind. It's unloosed, it's ungoverned, it's undisciplined. So when you don't have a dream, you don't have an interpretation, you don't have a goal in sight, then you're going to live loose. You're going to live just whatever the day gives you. You're going to live frustrated. You're going to live as one without a covering. You're going to live as one that's just wandering around. Yell at your neighbor and say, it starts with sight. It starts with sight. So you're about to go into an area that you have not been before. That's why you have to spend so much time in the wilderness. Because every great man and woman of God has to go through a maturation process. Ask John the Baptist, who spent all that time on the backside of the desert. Ask Moses, that spent all that time on the backside of the desert. Ask Jesus, that spent all that time. You hear nothing from the ages of 12 to 30. Why? Because every man and woman of God has a wilderness, has a desert, has a time they got to spend with God so that God can hone some things and perfect some things and get some people out of your heart and get some addictions out of your life and get some things set up inside you, because you have not gone this area that you're going to before. I'm reminded of when Paul said to Timothy, who was a grown man, Timothy, I must circumcise you. A grown man telling another grown man, a young man, that I must circumcise you. It's not that I don't believe you're saved. It's not that I don't believe you're a man or woman of God. It's because I need to circumcise you to equip you for the Jews that you're going to. And I need you to trust that I won't castrate you. I need you to trust that I won't cut too deep. I need you to trust that I'm just getting rid of the extra flesh in your life. Because where God is about to send you, you gotta be ready for it. Your assignment must match your character. And where God is about to take you, he don't want you there acting silly and messing stuff up and stealing money and sleeping around with the women and sleeping around with the men, because your assignment must also match your character. Yell at your neighbor and say, I'm in a time of transition. Woo. You've been asking yourself, why am I so frustrated? We used to be humble. Wasn't we? We weren't bound by trying to get the last word. Now, believers, we go toe to toe with you in the name of Jesus. Because we're living in a different time. People different. Huh? COVID brought off some stuff. You start seeing the ugliness of people. Customer service is whack.
humanity. You've got a cheapened version of humanity. Things have just changed. So we need sight so we can know how to maneuver. And if you're still stuck, if a woman is called to preach, and if I should speak in tongues, and if it's okay to get tatted up, and if it's okay to do this, and if you're still stuck there, then you're not going to see this next transition and this next move. Because we ain't looking up at the clouds no more. We ain't looking for something to fall out the sky. We're not looking for something, some miracle. Jesus says, well, they'll say to you, lo, he's over here, and lo, he's over there. Don't go. The kingdom of God is within you. Some of us, we're in some very toxic relationships. And you don't see the toxicity like we see the toxicity. Did you feel that? I don't know nothing about you. But the clarity that you need, you only gonna get from distance, beloved. There's a reason why he got to get his phone every time he leave the room. There's a reason why she don't want to invite you to church. But you need some, you gotta distance yourself. Now, say this part. So, they were before living by manna. But when they crossed the Jordan, there was no more manna falling from the sky. They were before being moved by the Woman Thou Loose Conference, the Manpower Conference, the Holy Convocation Part 1, 2, and 3 Conference. Who gonna lay hands on me? When gonna be my time to preach? Why pastor ain't called me out? Why ain't God? Why ain't seen? Why they ain't affirmed? This next move. See, in your patience, you still got to possess your soul. And in this next move, it's a transition that's coming to the body. And he's trying to equip you for where he's about to send you. And a lot, listen, I know what I'm talking about with this. God had to deal with me this. He's trying to equip you to where he's trying to send you. I'm a dinosaur in some regards. And I'm very stuck on some things. Some of it is biblically sound in God, and some of it is just my own prejudice. But God started having me to really stretch my arm and conversate with people I just don't deal with, and the lifestyles that they have, and you know, that I just don't deal with. But then I start talking to them. I start opening my heart up to them. And I wasn't so judgmental because of what they were dealing with. And, you know, and their sexual preferences and all that stuff. And then I open my heart. Because I had never went this way before. I didn't know how. I didn't know how as a preacher to preach that out, but not when God is showing me the abuse that happened as a child that creates this need for affection, and I preach and I'm calling out what they do versus what caused them to get here. Like this leaning tree I got in my house. This leaning tree without a brain, without a mind, without intellect, but some big tree, some big thing when it was just a little tree. It messed it up, and it leans naturally and does whatever it can to get its own sunlight. And so I had to change, because God is transitioning me and you not to be just accepting, but to have an answer and to have sight and to understand how to untwist stuff out of people's souls and how to raise up the family again and how to, because we've lost some values, right? We've lost some things, and it died with Papa. We ain't had a family reunion. We don't sit and sup like we used to do, and it's a different time. We're in transition. So these officers went through the camp. Sydney, they went through the camp, man. And they said, in 3 days, we're going to move. I want you to prophesy that to your neighbor. In 3 days. Woo. In 3 days. There's going to be such a breaking of cycles and routines and unhealthy circles. No longer looking up. Watch this. This is going to mess you up. I was talking to my son in the gospel. He says, he's like, "Pops, man, what's next?" I said, "Man, it's going to sound strange, man. You ain't going to like it." He says, "Tell me, what's next?" I said, "No longer looking up, but looking within. Taking a deep dive like one would jump into the deep end. And unlocking everything that you've been holding down and holding back, trying to shrink, trying to be comfortable around people. Like I said, code switching, trying to be different. Part of freedom. Did you know that one of the definitions of freedom, peace, one of the definitions of peace on a global scale is the ability to be you without anybody infringing on your belief. This transition is going to bring you into a place where you can finally be you. Some of y'all, that just went over, because we have learned to play living behind a mask. We have learned to be a certain way, but God says this transition where I'm about to take you to, I'm taking you to a place you've never been. I'm taking you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Did you know when he said it's a land flowing with milk and honey, you don't have to kill a cow to get milk? I'm taking you to a place in your spiritual walk that's not based on your sacrifice. It's not based on what you gotta die to in order for God to move. I'm taking you somewhere. And you ain't never been this way before. And I love what he did. He says, the moment you cross over Jordan, there will be no more manna. You got one more manna coming. And then in the same year, you're going to eat off the corn of the land of Canaan. But you'll never go hungry. So what I'm going to do in your in-between time, I'm going to fill you up one good time, and then you're going to start working your land. Your land is your soul. It's your mind. It's your creativity. It's the things that God has placed in you even before your mother's womb. You're going to live on the abundance of your land, your mind, your spirit. Beloved, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is the time of your untapping. And I'm about to loose you and open you up like a volcano. Don't let your routine into this next move.
distance. Because you ain't went this way before. You ain't been this way. I know you know some scripture. You know some word. You know the moves of the Holy Ghost. You know how to make the atmosphere do all that's wonderful. But if it don't work out there, better yet, if it don't work in here, I ain't get to any of this. But I just want to say to you that just as God did with Joshua, and he brought the people over into a place, it's a time of transition. I speak that same word into you, beloved. This is your time of transition. That's why you eat and you can't be full. That's why you drink but you still thirst. Because inside of you, you know there's another level. There's another dimension. And I hate to use those words because they're so churchy. It's just a greater revelation. It's a realization. It's a consciousness. It's a flow that comes out of you that you've never seen before. We've said for years, I just want to have four streams of income. And we get that right out of Genesis. But did you know the rivers, they weren't going to Adam, they were coming from. God placed him in the garden eastward in Eden. And from there he parted the rivers. What's the next move? You? All of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be. Come on, just raise your hand. I'm gonna leave. Some of you will go to college, some of you won't. That's okay. Some of you will start businesses. Some of you won't. That's fine. Some of y'all just going to paint. Some of you are just going to have music. Some of y'all are just going to fold paper airplanes. And God going to bless it some kind of unique, creative way. But at the end of the day, you've done who God made you to be. That's what's next. Don't pay attention to CNN, Fox News. Don't even get caught up in all that. Stop looking up. Start looking forward. You know, maybe there's someone here today. And this, I don't know, I ain't get to none of my notes, but this hit a little different for you. It just hit a little different for you. Hit a little different. In the days to come, I want you to guard this word, okay? I want you to hold it in your heart. That way you won't be so mad. You won't be so angry and short-fused. I know the season we're in, but I want you to know you're about to transition. You ain't about to die. You're about to live in a whole different way. You're going to live on full. Not calculating how you're going to get from here to there based on what's in your tank. You're about to live on full. In every aspect of your life, you're about to live on full. Jesus' name. If you love him, can we salute the Lord with just praise? Can we make it sound like angel wings up in here?
Oh, come on. Can we make them sound like angel wings? Come on, come on. Oh, yeah, right there, right there, right there, right there. Come on. Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. Come on, make them sound like angel wings. Lord, we salute you in the presence. We thank you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for the word that gets into our inner man and encourages us to go a little further. Thank you, Lord, for the distance, for clarity. In Jesus' name. Thank you for just having us today come and be with you. God bless you. We love you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Turn it back over to the preacher. God bless you. Thank you.
Come on, can we say hallelujah? Woo. That word was so good, y'all. Hallelujah. Amen. We're getting ready to go. Amen. But before we do, we want to take up an offering for the man of God. Amen. So we're going to ask you to get a gift. Amen. So that we can bless him. Pastor Bailey, I just want to tell you thank you for preaching that. Because as I was meditating this afternoon and getting ready for church, I had no idea you were going to be preaching about Joshua. And the Holy Spirit brought to my mind how they saw themselves when they were getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. And he said to me, and this bear witness in my soul, that I'm going to move you to a different place, but you got to disassociate the familiarity. You got to stop seeing yourself the way people have labeled you. Hallelujah. And even the things that you've done in your life that have caused you to perceive yourself a certain way, you got to stop it. Hallelujah. So for you to preach that today, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I don't think that was just for me. I think that's for everybody in the house. Because a lot of us have been pigeonholed by people that are close to us, by what they have said to us and spoken over us. But he said tonight that God is going to break the cycles of familiarity. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm excited about that, y'all. So thank you for being obedient to the Spirit and preaching that tonight. Amen. We're going to get ready. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. And then for those of you that have gifts, you can bring them. Amen. So that we can bless the man of God. Amen. He's already prayed. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Pastor Gail and Pastor Shawnee will be back next week. Amen. We look forward to them coming back. Thank you again, Pastor Lee and Pastor Tanya. Amen. And the saints that came with them from Flint. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. Amen.